Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
There's so many ways that you can utilize life insurance while you're alive, but I think the most important way, especially for somebody who's a business owner or somebody who is younger, is to make sure that you're building the cash value and you're letting it grow. I would overfund it. If you have additional money that you can spend, I would overfund it. Why not, when you have it, build it up? It will supercharge how fast your cash value is growing. And now I'm going to be able to have this when I need it. Yeah. But it's going to be more than what I put in because I have added additional money on top of premium and made that cash value grow faster.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, legacy architect, wealth strategist, author, and life insurance expert extraordinaire. She's the founder and CEO of Lindsay Smith the Agent Incorporated, where she spent the last 15 plus years helping everyday families build generational wealth using the strategic power of life insurance. And not just as protection, but as a vehicle for financial growth, asset leverage, and long-term security. Whether she's structuring million-dollar policies for wealth builders or educating the masses on how to leverage life insurance today to protect their tomorrow, her mission remains the same: to give our people the knowledge and tools that we were never taught and change the financial legacy of families one policy at a time. And today, she's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Queens, New York, I'm here with the one, the only, my good friend, Miss Lindsay Smith. How are you?
I'm good. The one, not the two.
Come on, then. Listen, top two, not two. We here. Welcome to the show. How are you? How's everything?
It's good. And I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me in front of your community. I love this.
Most definitely. I'm extremely excited. I think this is the first time in TMFS history that I've had somebody on that is a specialist in life insurance.
Wow.
So, you know, I got some questions.
Okay.
I got some questions. I'm very much
and
so
And of course it made sense that it was me.
Listen, once again.
Who else was you going to have?
Top two, not two. If you were a first, it would be blasphemy. So I'm very, very excited for this conversation. Thank you for coming on here. You are a treasure trove of knowledge, but once again, and more importantly than that, experience. You've been doing this for a very long time.
Yes.
And I think, not even I think, I know, similar to what I said in the intro, the people need this information, right?
They do.
And I'm very excited to get into this conversation. But before we do that, I'm familiar with you. There may be some people watching who aren't familiar. So let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Miss Lindsay Smith?
Wow. So I love that. So I am Lindsay Smith, but I'm known on social media as Lindsay Smith the Agent. I actually wear 2 hats. I have a life insurance agency, as you said, Lindsay Smith the Agent, which I have about 50 agents that are under me. I also am a mentor for agents across the nation. And I help them build 6 to 7 figure incomes so that they also can create financial freedom for themselves. So it's not just about me helping clients be able to build financial freedom for their families and be able to invest through life insurance, be able to build real estate portfolios, be able to learn how to use life insurance as a tool. I'm also helping agents do that for themselves with my community.
I love it. Let's peel the layers back a bit, because with 15 plus years in the space, I know it didn't start yesterday. It didn't happen overnight. I'm sure this is a journey filled with a lot of ebbs and flows. What did life look like before the success we see today in this space? Go as far back as you like, whether you want to go to early childhood to right before college. How far back can you remember to what life looked like before you got here?
That's a good question. So I think I'm going to take it back to college.
Let's do it.
So I went to, I started off at Howard University, HBCU, the real HU.
Okay.
To anybody in here who's not. But yes. And so I was in the school to be there. I actually only went to Howard for 2 years. When I was there, I've always been a person to network. So when I was there, we used to have, obviously, homecomings, and everybody came. And I met up with somebody who, you remember Vibe magazine?
This I is do
probably
remember
telling
Vibe.
My age.
Yeah.
But this is when it was popular.
Okay.
And so they used to do the homecoming, right? They were one of the sponsors for the homecoming. And so I met somebody, and right in time, because when I left Howard, I was able to intern at Vibe in New York. And I finished off at Baruch College, and I was into, I thought I wanted to do marketing.
Okay.
So I was in business, but I thought I wanted to do marketing. So I was good at sales, and I was good at marketing. And so I got into that space. I was doing product placement. I don't know if you know, when people basically pay, similar to what influencers do today, what they used to do is a brand would pay me and I would get it on celebrities.
Okay.
So we would have that. So I've always been a person, I never had a regular job. I've always been someone who made money based off of what I did.
Yeah.
So I could bet on myself. And so what I did with that is I made money because I was able to get the celebrities. So a bunch of brands would pay me. But what happened when the recession happened?
2008.
That's what I'm saying. The clothing lines were like, let's cut marketing out. We just want sales, which the two go hand in hand. And I don't know how businesses even think that they don't. But even as a small business, the two go hand in hand. Branding is key. And so they basically cut back and was like, you know what? We don't want you. We don't want to pay you for the month. We actually want to pay you one off. Like, get it on Jay-Z, get it on this person, get it on that person. But I don't want to pay you like a lump sum for the month, right? A retainer. So when that happened, I was like, oh, I got to find something that's a little bit more sturdy. I also owned a styling agency. So again, being a business owner, right? Always figuring out ways to make money when there's an opportunity.
Right.
When people would ask me to get the clothes for the artists, I would then have the stylist getting the clothes. So I was like, why not put the two together? They're looking for a stylist, right? And I'd be the agent manager, and now I make the money in between, right? Middleman. So that was really good. And labels were paying us $10,000 for a day rate, $15,000 for a day rate, and all of this. And then the recession is happening. They're like, you know what? We don't want to pay agency fees. Again, that was something else that was telling me I got to switch up. So I get an email from an insurance company, and they're like, you get 401k, you get benefits, but you make your own money. There's no limit. There's no cap. I was like, oh, that sounds like my type of thing. They're going to teach you financial literacy, and they're going to teach you about investments, all of these things. I've always been into money. I've always, right? I've always been a person into money. And I made really good money when I was doing product placement, obviously, right? So I was like, I need something that's still going to pay me money within my range.
Right.
So I go for the interview. When I get there, what happens when you think that this is not your purpose, right? But you don't really know, because God is basically pushing you in this lane. That's why everything wasn't working out. So I go, and I was like, it sounds good, but I'm not sure. I'm bartending too at this time. So bartending at this time was really making a lot of money. Like, I was working at the popular clubs in the city. We getting $2,000 a night. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. Now what happens? The club I'm at shuts down. There's a fight. So I'm like, dang. I mean, nothing could go right. I go back. I said, I think I'm going to have to take this serious. I have a child, right, around this time. And I'm like, I need to do something that's recession-proof, that is going to give me, make me feel like I have a purpose, And I'm also going to be able to make whatever amount of money based off of what I do. And that's how I got started in the business. Mm. But the big thing that people got to understand about this business is that since you make based off of what you do, you have to light your own fire under your ass.
Yep.
Right? So as an entrepreneur, you know that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the key thing about being in this business.
Wow. So you start off in the marketing / entertainment space, and it's like every corner you turn, God is just closing the door, right? He's like, you're not going to work here. You're not going to work here. I need you here in this life insurance space. You finally give in, you go straight into it, and it fits your moxie pretty much. Because like you said, you've always been the kind of person where you want to make money based off of your own hustle, your own grind. I'm curious to know, where does that come from? Did you come from a family of other people who are also entrepreneurs? Is that something that's just innately always been in you when you were younger?
I am the oddball in the family.
Really?
So everybody in the family is, they went to college, they got 52 masters, they got their doctorates. They're all in education pretty right. much. And that's how they've all made their money. I've always been the eyeball. I've always been the person who was like, I'm not getting another degree. I got this bachelor's because I grew up where it was like, there was no decision about that. It was high school, college, master's, doctorate.
Yep.
Right. And so I was like, I'm going to get the bachelor's. I understand that's the minimum for this family. I got it. Right. But I'm not doing the extra schooling because what I want to do doesn't require me to have that knowledge.
Yeah.
I want other knowledge. I want investment knowledge. I want knowledge that's going to make me be able to build a legacy and not just be like, well, I'm going to make 100K a year. I don't want that. Right. And so I think the other part that I didn't tell you is that transition between going from God shutting doors to me going into here. Oh, it was hard because I was making a lot of money. I was in the fun business to be in. And now I'm like, well, I'm going to life insurance. I'm going to hide my face. I don't want to tell anybody I do that. Right. And not realizing that as a life insurance agent, we make some of the majority of the millionaires in the world is either from being in that finance business, owning your own business, or some kind of real estate investor, or just an investor in period, mm-hmm. right? So as I moved into this business, I realized, like, there's so many millionaires in this business. Why would I be ashamed, you know, of being in this business? Why would I be a secret agent?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's good, too, because, all right, so you're in this space now, and you start to realize, like, well, hold on, I can make way more money here than I was making in these other spaces. You get into it. What did the early season, because you're still learning, you're still new, you're fresh, you're figuring things out as you go on. What did those first couple of years of being an agent look like? Was it all sunshine and rainbows from the get-go, or did it get a little low, right? Did it get a little low?
Definitely. Well, I mean, my first year out, I think I didn't make 100K, but I was like right there. I was like 90 something thousand, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've always, again, been good at sales. So I was going to do well in the business. But there's definitely 100K didn't come like 100K comes as an employee. Mm-hmm. It wasn't every month you had this. You just had some really good months and you might have had some months that you really didn't get paid. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just looked different, you know, than it did having consistent income. So it had its lows because you had to get through those months that you didn't make that consistent income. Mm-hmm. So I think as time went on, I learned how to build consistent income in the business. Mm. And I think that was what was important. But it also, I mean, it was a change in purpose. Like before I was entertainment business, that was, I mean, you know, marketing, all of that, that was different. This was like, I was really helping people build wealth for their families. I was sitting down, and this is before everything was virtual, right? So this is 15 years ago. So this is me coming to your house, sitting on your couch, sitting in front of your family with your kids and your wife, and coming up with a plan so that you would make sure that your family is set.
Right.
So, you know, it was a very rewarding thing, but I took it really serious.
What made you decide to, because I think with any space, and I'm sure you saw this too, a lot of the people you probably started out with in the space aren't the same individuals that, you know, made it to the 10, 5, 10, 15 plus year mark. Individuals are going to fly off and be like, all right, I thought this was cool. Thought I was going to make a lot of money. I'm doing all right, but let me go over to this shiny object or this shiny object. Was that, when you talk about being able to impact families, was that what the ultimate linchpin that kept you so locked into not just being in the space, but becoming an expert and becoming a master in the space, to where it's like, I don't want to do anything else. I'm here. I want to be known as Lindsay Smith, the life insurance agent. What was that for you?
I mean, well, I think really what it was more of the income that I made. You know, the income that I made in this business, you got to think about what the average household income is and think about 15 years ago, right? So maybe back then it might have been like 40,000. So for me to still be able to make 100K and maybe work a few hours a week, how can I go back to a job? How can I go sit somewhere 9 to 5 and somebody tell me they're going to pay me $45,000, $50,000 a year? I wouldn't be able to understand it, right? So I think this business allows you to have financial freedom as an agent. Mm. It allows me to vacation all the time. I don't have just 2 years out the year to vacation, right? And I just think it also allows me to really help families.
Yeah.
So my impact is so much bigger as an insurance agent than maybe it would have been if I was just, you know, working at a company as like a marketing director.
Mm-hmm. I want to unpack your expertise a bit, because me and you talked about this a little bit off camera, but I was extremely excited for this episode because I feel like I'm still learning about life insurance, as I'm sure my audience is. So I got 1,042 questions. You understand?
Let's tap into insurance.
I want to break this thing down to really understand it. I feel like, especially in our community, life insurance is still such a foggy topic. There's a lot of misconceptions that are probably around it, and I really want to give people the real about what it is, but more importantly, of course, what it isn't. So when someone comes to you and they say, hey, I know absolutely nothing about life insurance, but I am interested in learning more, so they're starting from ground zero, where does that conversation with you start with helping them to understand what it is?
So this is the thing. I think the biggest issue we have, especially in our community, is that people don't understand insurance, so they stay away from it.
Yeah.
So when somebody comes to me and says they're ready, that's one step forward already. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to me and you say you're ready, I say, listen, I have to find out exactly what your goals are, where you are, and where you want to be, so that I can come up with a plan that's going to be best suitable for your family. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just selling you something. I want to know what you need first. And once I understand what you need, now I'm going to tell you. Now, there are different types of insurances. And so based off of what your goals are, we can put something in place that's going to add value to what you're trying to do, mm-hmm. right? That's not going to cost too much where you can't keep up with it. And I think that's also a misconception. People are like, oh, it's so expensive. But you can choose the policy that you get. Mm-hmm. So you can choose the price.
Right.
So, yes, there are policies that people are spending thousands of dollars a month, but there's people who are paying $10 a month.
Yeah.
So it depends. So what I do is I look at everything. I'm going to look at your goals. I'm going to look at where your finances are, how much money you're making, how much money you're saving. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out who are we covering? Who's important to you? What does that look like? Are we covering a mortgage? Is there a business that you have that you want to pass on? Is there debt that's shared with somebody that if you passed away, it would fall in their lap? Let's discuss all of these different things. Do you have retirement set up? Are you planning on investing? Do you have a business? Mm-hmm. Because these are things, if you're a business owner, I may tell you, well, let's build an asset in your policy so that when you're ready to maybe add on marketing or ads or whatever, that you have assets here. Because sometimes your credit at different times as a business owner, your credit may not be that good. Mm-hmm. And so in those times, guess what? Let's dip into this policy so you can still get what the business needs. Mm. If you're in real estate, there's going to be times you're over leveraged. But guess what? The boiler broke in one of your investment properties, or the boiler broke in your primary residence. You don't have the money. We can't wait. Let's have that policy ready where we don't have to give them no explanation, and we can just borrow from it immediately. Mm. So it's about building an asset for a family so that when they need it, it's available to them.
What are the different policies that exist, and how exactly do they work?
So there's only three types of insurances.
Okay.
And the thing about online is it's going to make it seem like it's 2000.
Yeah.
It's just concepts that people use to sell the insurance.
Okay.
But there are literally three. It's term, there's whole life, and there's universal life. In every type, there is a variation, but there are only those three types. And so depending on what you need, and to make it really simple, term is temporary. It has no cash value. You cannot borrow from it. It's solely risk management. It's mm-hmm. going to cover your family, your mortgage for a period of time when it matters. Maybe when the mortgage is due within that 30 years, your kids are young, mm-hmm. you know, any specific period of time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's very affordable for that reason. Then you have whole life. It's guaranteed for life. It builds cash value. You can borrow from it. You can utilize it to pay for real estate and build a business and all these other things. But what they don't tell you online is you don't just have $100K available and you put $50 in it. Your cash value is based on the amount of premium you're paying and how many years it compounds. So if you're trying to take money out in year one, it's going to be less than what you put in it.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it's universal life. Universal life is another permanent policy, but it's a flexible premium. And just because of that, it doesn't have a guaranteed death benefit. So depending on the premium you choose to pay mm-hmm. in that range will determine whether or not that policy will actually last if you have a long life or if that policy might lapse. And so there's more to it, but that's the basis of what those three policies are. And when I'm sitting with a family and deciding what they need, I'm finding out what their goals are so I know which one is going to work well with them.
Obviously, with insurance, as I'm sure you know, it's because choosing a policy has so many different variables that goes into it. There's never a one size fits all. But typically speaking, with that breakdown, if I'm a viewer, how do I know if I should lean a little bit more towards term versus whole or versus whole versus term or mm-hmm. maybe considering universal? What are some of the key factors or questions I should be asking myself?
So the key things you're going to ask is, do I need cash value from it?
Okay.
Is it just for a temporary period of time, right? Am I covering something where it's just like, I need to cover this mortgage for 30 years. I could just get a 30-year term. It's going to be very affordable. What is my budget? Because if my budget is very low, mm-hmm. I may have to start in term and I can later change it to a permanent policy called converting. Okay. So the main questions I would say that you want to think of is, one, what's my budget? Mm-hmm. Two, do I need cash value from the policy? Three, do I need a certain amount of cash value in a certain period of time? Mm-hmm. Because then we need to structure it a certain way for us to reach those goals, as long as that's still suitable for your budget.
Yeah.
And what are some of the things how you might want to customize it? Like, there's other things like critical illness, chronic illness, long-term care. Those are riders we can add on to customize it to fit you. So if you have a health concern, your insurance can take care of it. So those are the kind of things that you kind of want to know when you go into your appointment. And based off of that, an agent who is knowledgeable will be able to lay a plan out. Mm.
So that kind of goes to my next point, because one of the things I've heard from afar when it comes to how insurance works from premiums you're able to get is like your situation, to what you've kind of talked about, to where if you're 20, like with me, I'm 27. So if you're a 27 something year old and you're looking for insurance, you have no kids and all these different things, how an insurance company may quote you at that age may be real different than how an insurance company might quote you if you're 45, you got a lung that collapsed back in like 08, you got three kids and a bad smoking habit, right? Talk a little bit about that, because I think that's also extremely important for individuals to know, because they might think to themselves like, oh, I'm about to get the insurance policy for the low. And it's like, well, no, my brother, you're 45, like you got a lot going on. It ain't gonna work out that way.
Well, let me say this.
Talk to me.
The younger you are, the cheaper it will be.
Yeah, okay.
So let's just start with that. Mm. So as young as you can get it, honestly, as a parent, soon as your kid is born, you should be buying them insurance. But if I'm 27 like you, coming into insurance for the first time, no kids, I'm looking at how the insurance is going to benefit you while you're alive.
Okay.
What's the living benefits to it? So I'm going for cash value policies. Mm. Now, what I might do, let's say your family has a history of high blood pressure, diabetes, all these different things. Then I may say, well, let's lock in your insurability with a term. So this way, as time goes on, if you did become sick, that term will allow you to convert to a permanent policy and you wouldn't have to do a medical. So I would say, let's not just focus on you building cash value, but also focus on locking in your insurability. Because there's so many people who randomly get cancer or, and so to make sure that you're able to always get insurance within the time frame of that term, we will also put that in place. Now, as far as you not having any children, you're a business owner. Let's make this policy possibly cover you as a tax-free retirement income. Let's make this policy be a space that you can come to when you may be needing to grow your business or you may be wanting to invest. Let this be a pool of money that we build. And so just think, I know that your focus is funding. Listen, a lot of my clients, they get funding and then they didn't necessarily have a plan for the funding.
Yeah.
So I'm like, listen, while you're waiting, at least let this money compound.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in an insurance policy. You always have access to it. You pull it out tax-free. So when you do have an investment, at least you have that money there and it was growing. It's not just sitting in your bank account, right? And so there's so many ways that you can utilize life insurance while you're alive. But I think the most important way, especially for somebody who's a business owner or somebody who is younger, is to make sure that you're building the cash value
mm-hmm.
and you're letting it grow. I would overfund it. If you have additional money that you can spend, I would overfund it. Why not, when you have it, build it up? It will supercharge how fast your cash value is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to be able to have this when I need it, but it's going to be more than what I put in because I have added additional money on top of premium and made that cash value grow faster.
I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch this interview because I'm processing that real time. I'm doing numbers in my head. I'm like, okay, this is we're kind of climbing the ladder a little bit here. So now another part too that is with life insurance, God forbid a situation happens, we pass, whatever that policy was that was set up, this payout now goes to a beneficiary, right? Whether it's mom, dad, brother, auntie, cousin, my girl, whoever.
Unless you have a trust.
Which is how you beat me to it. Because now I've also heard, I've had another individual on here and she talks about like asset protection. I've heard a lot of conversation around, well, you could have an insurance policy in a trust and absolutely, how that can kind of work. Could you break that down for me a bit? Because I want to understand the nuance of that.
So, I mean, it's actually really simple. And I feel like people are making this be really difficult. The bottom line is the beneficiary, instead of it being an individual, can be an entity.
Mm-hmm.
And the entity is a trust. And so the money will go to the trust when you pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your trust will have all the rules of what happens with this money,
mm-hmm.
whether it's invested in stocks, if it's given to your family, right? But ideally, if you want to be smart about it, if I am using life insurance to put in my trust, then I would want to make sure that the money is making money.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put it in a trust, which means I name the beneficiary the trust, I should, on my trust side, have it where it's invested to continue to grow.
Okay.
I should have it where if anybody borrows from it, that they need to have an insurance policy that pays it back, right? Because how will we have it for generations if we're going to just give it away?
Yeah.
Right? If we're going to put it in there and then we're going to say, child X, Y, and Z, every month you get this. Well, how is the policy going to make any, how is the money going to make any money?
Mm-hmm.
It's eventually going to run out. So I think it's a great idea to have it go into the trust, but I do think that the rules that you put behind it are key.
Mm.
And the rules should be, make sure that anybody who gets access to this money also has an insurance policy. And so when they borrow, the money will go back when they pass away. So it can keep feeding the family for generations.
Mm. For your near two decades of experience being in this space, what are some of the most creative yet fruitful ways that you've seen individuals leverage life insurance for investments?
I would say most people who are leveraging it are leveraging it in real estate.
Okay.
In business. But I've had people start, actually I had this client started a trucking business from the insurance policy. We literally set the policy up initially for him to have his retirement later on. And he reaches out to me. He's like, Lindsay, I really want to start my own trucking business. You know, do you have any connects at the bank? And I was like, well, you're really kind of like your own bank.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, we did a policy. It built cash value. How much do you need? And he was like, I need about 20K. And I said, well, let me take a look. His policy had 25,000. Mm. So this is what I said to him. I said, take this 20,000, get the truck that you need. When the truck makes the money, pay it back. Repeat the process. Keep buying more trucks. Guess what? Today, his business has made millions. He has 7 trucks, right? And so for people who utilize it the right way, who don't just pull the money out and keep pulling the money out, never pay it back, right? So it's key to pay it back if you want to use the money again. Mm-hmm. It's not that you can't, and because there's an interest charge each year when you pull the money out, right? So you want to make sure you're putting money back into or at least paying the interest so the policy doesn't keep creating loans mm-hmm. from you not paying the interest. Another way I would say as far as real estate, I had a client out in North Carolina. He buys hotels.
Okay.
And so he literally, we got a policy where he dumped the money into the policy and he was like, listen, I have a family. So if for whatever reason something happens to me, my family will get the death benefit. Well, guess what? He was young. So since he was young, we put $250,000 into it for the first year because he needed about $160,000 of it for him to put down on his hotel. But guess what? The death benefit was $13 million because he was young. So the leverage is that, God forbid something happened to him. He paid $250,000 in 1 year. His family would have received 13 mil. This is what I'm saying.
Lord,
so it has two levels to it.
Right.
You get to do what you need to do with on the living benefit side. But the other side is if you got a family, they now will get, I mean, that's more than 10 times.
Yeah.
By far. And it's tax free. So this is the thing. We need to start paying attention to leverage in life insurance.
Yeah.
In business, in real estate, right? Just in general for our families, because even if you're somebody who doesn't have a lot of money, mm-hmm. even if you're somebody who's like, listen, I only could pay $50 a month. So what? So you 27 could pay $50 a month. You could probably get about 75K, 100K in whole life. Mm-hmm. Guess what? If something happens to you, you paid $50 mm-hmm. for somebody to turn around and get $100,000. Mm-hmm. That's leverage. You might, if you have $50 a month, you probably didn't have $100K in your bank account.
Right.
Your family wasn't going to get $100,000. So we want to use it to leverage where we stand. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so therefore, our families can buy property and own businesses.
Hey, business owners. Imagine being able to walk in and out of banks and starting to see approvals instead of rejections. And it's not because you changed anything with your business, but because you put your personal credit report in the position it needed to be in. Here at Takeoff Financial, our team helps business owners just like you using consumer law strategies that'll get real results in real time. We remove collections, charge-offs, late payments, evictions, delinquent student loans, along with anything else that's keeping you from getting to your funding goals. And best of all, it's completely done for you. We send the disputes, file the complaints, and do everything needed to help put you in position to access your first $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit. So if you're interested, head over to takeofffinancial.com or click the link in the description below to book a free consultation with me and my team to learn more about how we can help you get one step closer to your funding goals.
Let's flip it then, right? Because while with all your years of expertise, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the good that's come mm-hmm. from life insurance done properly. I'm sure you've also seen some scenarios where it's like, what are you doing? You over here? Like you already, the stories is coming to mind in real time. Have you ever seen situations, whether it was a byproduct of someone doing bit? Let's say they saw you like, I don't want to work with Lindsay. I'm gonna work with this insurance agent over here. Insurance agents, they know what they was doing, right? They got caught up in some business.
And they come back.
And then they come back. Have you seen situations like that happen, or a scenario where even if the person did have the right agent, they pulled some stuff off social media and try to run a play, and next thing you know, now they're in the red. What are some of the situations where you've seen life insurance go wrong as a byproduct of just miseducation?
Well, let me say this first. If you are somebody trying to get insurance, you need to do the homework on who your agent is. Mm-hmm. You need to know that, because I'm going to tell you this. Some of the things that you need to pay attention to make sure that you have the correct agent is, one, you need to make sure that they are asking you, what are your goals? If you get on the phone with an agent and all they do is tell you they're going to sell you this product, that's the wrong agent. How do you know what you're going to sell me if you didn't talk to me about what I need? Mm. The second thing is they need to take take note of what your budget is. Because if you can't afford it, you're going to lose the policy and the insurance company wins. They get to keep your money that you've paid. They invest your money that you've paid, and you don't. Your family doesn't get a payout because you didn't pay it. The policy lapsed. You also want to make sure that the person that you're dealing with is going to be relatable to you. Understand what your situation is. Understand what your family dynamic is so that they can really sit there and assess and say, okay, this is what's going to make the most sense for you now. This is what we could do in the future because it's an ongoing process. If I sit down with you today at 20 and you're 27, what you needed today is not what you need at 40.
Facts.
So we need to constantly be reviewing what you have going on. You make more income. You might have kids. You might get married. We need to make sure things are constantly changing so that it matches your goals. And so I think it's important that you find out how long your agent been in the business. Do they plan on just leaving the business? I came into the business with 200 agents when I was in my study group for the agents. By the time I was taking the test, it was 9 of us. Guess how long that process was?
How long was the
process? 2 weeks.
Hey.
So what I'm trying to say is a lot of people will fall out the business. So you need to find out, are they here for the long haul? Is this somebody who's just passing through who wanted to make some money and thought insurance would be easy and realized that they wasn't good in sales? All of those things matter. And I think that if you're going to have a successful story in what you get, because your agent should be educating you.
Yeah.
They should educate you on not just what you're getting, but what the other options are. So you're aware. Because how many times do I bump into a client and they're like, well, this agent sold me this. And I'm like, they may have not known. Right? They may have not known that this wasn't suitable for you. Did you tell them everything? Did they ask? They're like, no, they just told me this is what I need. Did they ask you what you need? So if you're sitting on the phone with an agent and they don't ask you your goals, you got the wrong agent on the phone. I teach all my agents, all the agents that come into my mentorship, I tell them you need to be a morally correct, an ethical agent.
Yeah.
You must learn about your customer. Get to know your customer. Because otherwise you're not doing right by them. And you got to think of it as if it was your mother or your family when you do it. Because if you're in this business for the long haul, 10 years will come and their family will be calling you like so-and-so passed away. We didn't have enough money.
One of the things I've noticed in me listening to you is a lot of the references you've been giving on the insurance policies you've used in examples as whole. Like you've mentioned it quite a bit. So I'm going to assume that's one of your more favorite policies to lean a little bit more towards.
Instead of universal? Is that what you're saying?
Because before we sat down, when I was looking into it, I kept hearing a lot of talk around universal. But listening to you speak, it seems like you lean a little bit more towards the other side. And from what I understand, they both have cash value. So I'm curious to know why for you, is there, once again, no.
That's funny that you hear that.
It's
true. It is true. Let me tell you this.
Talk to me.
So Universal Life is an excellent product. The problem is if the client doesn't understand it, it could be the death of them. What do I mean by that? Well, Universal Life has a flexible premium and typically people are not disciplined. So in the Universal Life product, if you don't pay the premium that's needed, the policy will lapse on you. And you could be paying your policy all the way up to the time it lapses. So most people don't understand that. People are like, well, I'm paying it. How can it be lapsing? Why am I getting a letter that it's lapsing? Because you're not paying the right premium. And because Universal Life is not a fixed premium, the premium increases over time. So what you originally was paying may not be sufficient on what you're paying 40 years later.
Got it.
So if you didn't pay more than what was needed in the beginning, it may have not, depending on how the interest fell, it may not have been enough to cover you all the way through. And so with Universal Life, a lot of people have a bad experience with it later on because they end up losing the policy at 70, at 80 when they need it. Now to get a policy is super expensive because you're 70 or you're 80 years old. And you're like, but I've been paying it for years. I just had a situation. This lady came to me at 65. She got a letter in the mail and they were like, it's ending in 18 months. right? And so she never stopped paying, but she was paying $40 for a $100,000 policy.
Yeah.
So what happened is the cost of insurance for 100K is no longer $40 now that she's 65.
Yeah.
So she would have to change her premium to $800 a month to just save the policy for her till she's 80.
Mm-hmm.
That's still not good.
Mm-hmm.
But she obviously, if you're paying 40, you don't have 800.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the where the problem is with universal life. It's not that I don't like it. I think that if a client can comprehend exactly how it works, it can be an amazing policy for business owners, for people with flexible income, because it allows you to be able to switch up your premium. So if this year business is really good, I can pay more into it. And next year business sucked, I may not even pay anything into it.
Right.
But if my discipline is not strong, that third year I don't come back to pay something, eventually my policy is going to lapse.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can comprehend that, if you understand that that's how it works, then it could be really good. But if not, it's not good. And I feel like the average individual can't afford for the policy premiums to be switching up. And so it's hard to sell it to the average individual. Mm-hmm. But a business owner who may understand, or just somebody who's disciplined, it could be really good. But there's a lot of, you know, you have to understand the product.
For as long as you've been doing this, when we talk about the topic, and I said it at the top and I'll kind of circle back to it, this topic of life insurance still isn't as popular in Black households as we would like for it to be. You sit down with a lot of these individuals, you've been doing it for years upon years. In 2025, from when you started up until now, why do you think that is? Why is there still a disconnect that exists in the Black household around having a tool like this that, as I'm listening to you speak, I'm like, everybody should have a policy. But for most people, there's still some friction there for them to take that step and start incorporating this in there.
Well, I think the biggest thing is we just don't understand it. We haven't had money left to us, right? So it doesn't seem real. Mm-hmm. It seems as if, you know, you're saying buy these policies, but when do they get paid out? But the reason why they're not getting paid out is because we're not paying them until we die, right? We're letting them lapse. So in the African-American household, the lapse ratio is so high, right? And I forget the numbers, and they've probably changed since the last time I looked them up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really high. And so if we lapse our policies, our families don't receive it. But we, in our head, we're thinking, well, we've been paying for it. Yeah, but you stopped paying for it. And so therefore, our families think it's a scam. Because imagine if your mother, you knew she was paying for a policy your whole life. But when she passes away, and not to say, right?
Yeah.
Knock on wood, right? You don't receive anything. You're like, wait, what is that? She was talking about this policy my whole life, but she stopped paying it. And the policy required her to still pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are different types. There's some where they'll be paid up and you don't have to keep paying them. But that may not be the policy you have. And so when your family doesn't get that payout, you think insurance is a scam. There's a policy called guarantee issue. It's specifically for people who don't qualify under underwriting, right? Like that means you wouldn't get the policy if you went through regular underwriting. This policy requires no underwriting. You automatically get it, but typically you have to be 50 years old. And this policy has a flat death benefit. Now, what happens is a lot of people get their family that policy.
Mm-hmm.
That policy got a stipulation on it. You got to live 2 years, or some companies 3 years, before they will pay you the death benefit. Otherwise, they just give you your premiums back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have that policy and you don't know or remember that that's how it works, but you just tell your family you got insurance, you've been paying the policy, you end up passing away, your family is like, what happened to the $25,000 he said he had?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a check for $500 because your premium was $150 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave you 10% interest on 5 months of paying it, right? Your family's like, this is a scam.
Yep.
So that's the problem. We don't understand what we have. We just don't understand it in general. So we may stay away from it. People have told us it's too expensive and we didn't do our due diligence to just call an agent and check on what it costs for us. We've been told that if you're sickly, you can't get it. the sickly stretch is so spread out. I mean, you can have diabetes, you can have high cholesterol, you can have all different kinds of sicknesses and still get this insurance. It's case by case.
Yep.
It depends if you're functioning with high blood pressure, functioning as a diabetic, right? But people in our household, they're like, I've had people call me and they're like, well, I have diabetes, so I know I can't get it. Who told you you can't get it? That doesn't mean you can't get it. Now, if you got a 12 A1C, maybe not. But you got 6 or 7 or 8 or even 9, there's companies that will pick it up. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, knowledge. And that's why it's so important for me to teach our people about how you can utilize life insurance. It's so important for me to educate. I educate all the time. I educate people who are looking to purchase insurance. I do webinars all the time for free, teaching them about the policies, how they work, the inner workings of it.
Yeah.
I teach agents all the time about what's the correct way to deal with clients.
Yep.
What's the ethical way so that you can stay in this business but still make money but do the right thing.
Right.
And that's key. That's what's important. Like, if you're not going to do that, then don't be in this business, because there's people whose families will suffer behind your messed up decision when they realize that the insurance cut off.
Mm-hmm. You did. You just mentioned it. Now, we've talked about it periodically throughout the interview, but you play both sides of the coin in that you don't just educate for the person getting insured. You also educate for the person, the broker, the liaison, if you will, the agent that is setting up these policies.
Absolutely.
I'm curious to know, from a mentorship standpoint and from your experience, what does that look like? If I'm listening to this, I'm like, I also want to potentially get into this industry. How do I know if this is an industry I should get in, right? Because I'm sure this isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know if I should get in, and what does that process now look like?
So to get into business is actually really simple. You literally study a book, and you can study it in 1 week. You can find it on Amazon, the life insurance book. If you want health, which I suggest, you do life and health. You get the book, you study. There's usually like a pre-exam that you take first, and you got to pass it. The exams, you typically only got to get a 70 on. So you pass the exam, then you take the state exam for your state. That's your resident state. Once you do that, the next part is getting with either a brokerage or a captive insurance company, which means an insurance company that you just work under their umbrella, and training. So this is why sometimes there's a disconnect between you sitting with the agent and them knowing what they know in the information, because a lot of agents are not getting trained properly. Because if you don't sign up with a company that's doing good training, you're not trained properly. If you sign up with a company that has one product, you only sell one product. And there's no one product that's right for everybody.
Right.
So every person I come in contact with can't possibly just need this one product. So that's what I think the problem is in the business. Even though it's regulated, it's still those little nuances of the fact that somebody can only be selling one product. And they don't know about the other products, meaning like don't have enough education to teach you that you should go with somebody else for something. You have agents who just haven't been trained properly. And so they don't know how to give a good recommendation because they don't fully understand it. So I think that's where the problem is, because getting a license is not that hard. So you can have your license and be ready to sell as an insurance agent and not necessarily be prepared to sell. I teach agents, there's times they don't know how to do an appointment. It's a lot of times they don't understand the product. So when I even do the educational webinars where I teach individuals looking for insurance, I have agents on there. They're trying to learn just like you as the person purchasing it.
Yeah.
Which is understandable because training is key. And if they don't take the time to educate themselves, and that's why being an agent, you must have a mentor. I have a mentor. You must have a mentor. Somebody who has walked in the shoes you want to walk in. Somebody who's been doing this before you that can tell you some things so that you don't make those mistakes in any business.
Right.
Right? If somebody's doing funding and they just walk into the funding world and never had a coach.
I got some news for you.
Right.
Yeah, ball game.
Right.
Yep.
So that's any business that you're in. If you don't have a mentor, like I pay for mentorship, you must have a mentor if you're trying to take your business to another level in every business. And in this business, it's the same, even more so. You got to keep a mentor in this business. A lot of times you can't just take the information and just go because the things change all the time. And you'll bump into a new situation every day. You know, so.
When did you get to the point where you decided, because you established yourself and then, you know, now you're in a position where you're still running your own agency, but educating. What was the exact moment, or was it a series of moments where you decided that you didn't just want to write policies, but you also wanted to mentor and lead? Because that, yes, in and of itself, that's
something else.
That's a different monster right there.
And that's funny, because my first 10 years in the business, I wanted no parts of mentoring agents. I kept getting forced into it. So I was with a captive company my first 10 years, and they were like, Lindsay, you got to tell people how you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And they would literally... We would have like these weekly meetings in the office, and my office was big. We had maybe about 250 agents in my office. And so they would literally be like, oh, Lindsay's going to teach you guys today. And I'd be like, I didn't agree to that. Mm-hmm. And they knew I wouldn't agree to it, because I always said I didn't want to teach agents because I felt they was lazy. They didn't stay. They would start, and by 6 months, they was gone. Mm. And I was like, why do I want to give energy to people who are not taking it serious? Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste my time. And so... my manager that ran the office was like, Lindsay, some people gonna pick it up. For those that do pick it up, it's worth it. And I used to be like, yeah, but this just seems like a waste of time. They don't listen. I tell them what to do, and they keep asking me, how can they make money? I tell them the exact steps, and they don't do it. And then they come back, and they're like, I didn't make money. I know you didn't, because you didn't do anything I said.
Yep.
And so I felt like when I left there, I said, you know what? People were DMing me like, can I come under you? And I was like, no, I'm not really. I'm going to figure it out, you know. And then eventually it hit me and I was just like, maybe I should help people.
Yeah.
And at first I started helping people and I wasn't charging. I was just like, all right, I'll do like a, you know, like a weekly, we could get on and I'll help you guys. And then I realized like, I need to be charging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I built the community. And then I just realized and I knew what they needed. Because mm-hmm. I've been in their shoes where you've been with a company that didn't. And my company gave a lot of education and training because it was a captive company. So, but a lot of people are not in that space. And I know they needed the training. So I was seeing from the questions they was asking, I'm like, wait a second, what's going on? Where you at? Mm-hmm. Are they not helping you with this, this, and this? So, I felt like I needed to come in because too many, even on the client side, people were like, my agent never explained it like you did. I want to be with you. So I feel like if I'm able to help, at least my goal is to help 1,000 agents build a 6 to 7 figure income over the next 2 years.
Mm.
Right? And it's so possible. Right. And I mean, 6 figures is low in our business. Like that's our bare minimum. Right. Mm-hmm. But to be able to train them for them to be successful so that they can have financial freedom in their family, you know, and that's my new goal. So now that's why I do the masterclass every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm training agents every single week. And I'm like, because I feel that it's a need for our people to be able to get insurance. We need more of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in this business is not a lot of people look like us. I'm in MDRT. You go to them MDRT meetings, you could pick them out. I could count y'all in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. So more of us should be there. That means you're making 100K. And so I just want to see our people be successful in this business. I want them to be successful for their own families, but also for them to be successful to help our people be able to have policies. And just think, with COVID, if more people had insurance, you know how many people lost their house? You know how many people, kids ain't in private school no more? You know how many different families went through all different type of situations because of money? Imagine if all those people had insurance policies. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Insurance was paying out for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The company I was with, they did the numbers. It was like over $50 trillion they paid out.
Trillion.
Trillion.
Lord.
Okay? But it wasn't to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Our policies were low, $25K, $50K. Like, we need bigger death benefits.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop saying, all we need is the amount for us to bury our family.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why not leave money so that our family members could get out of debt, start businesses, buy a home so we could own something?
Yeah.
That's what the leverage of life insurance could do. But listen, I want to, I know I didn't tell.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Audience, I got something free.
Okay.
For both agents, if you're somebody on here who wants to be a life insurance agent or already a life insurance agent, I got something for them. And I also got something for individuals who are just trying to learn a little bit more about insurance. So I know I didn't tell you guys. Let me get the number.
Get the number.
Phone.
Let's do it.
So hold on. Here we go. All right. So I want you guys to text 855-684-1989. Text the word agent. If you're a licensed agent, you're going to get a free link to my free masterclass where I'm going to teach you guys how to build organic leads and how to be able to make a six-figure income in less than 5 months. Hmm. Also, you guys are going to get a free, I think I'm giving a free ebook for them, right? Mm-hmm. Then text the same number, 855-684-1989. If you are interested in finding out more information about life insurance, I'm going to give you guys a free ebook on how to create cash value. And also you'll get a link for you to be able to ask more questions. So comment the word. Which word did I pick for that? For that one, I think I picked life. Wait, and I'm going to tell y'all real quick to make sure that that's what the word was. What was yesterday?
Attention business owners. Are you tired of getting denied for business credit because your personal credit is still holding you back? You have the business, you have the vision, but every single time that you apply, lenders hit you with the same brick wall time after time again, your credit report. You see, here at Take All Financial, we use advanced consumer law strategies to get every negative item removed from your credit report. Things like collections, charge-offs, late payments, delinquent student loans, and so much more. And best of all, it's fully done for you. Our team sends out the dispute letters, files the complaints, and handles everything needed to get your credit to the finish line. Which means you don't have to lift a finger, and we'll do all the heavy lifting needed to put you in position to finally get approved for business credit. So if you're ready to stop getting denied and start getting funded, head over to takeofffinancial.com to book a free consultation with me and my team to see how we can put you in position to get one step closer to your funding goals.
Life. There yes. So hit life to text life to that or text agent if you're an agent.
Beautiful.
All right.
One more. I know with that being said, I know we do have to start closing out. One final question for you. And such a powerful, I would love to have a part two because this is such a,
now, of course.
This is a conversation that goes much into a much larger thing of just understanding wealth and the mindset within our people when it comes to investing and doing the things that are simple. But for us, once again, there's just this friction. There's this wall that we've put up to where we just don't want to get involved in it.
Yeah, and we don't want to. Like, people literally will run from life insurance agents.
Yeah.
Like, run. It's like, you do what?
Yeah.
They dashing off, right? Yeah. And it's crazy because it's something that really can help our families. But like I said, it's pure education.
That's it.
It's pure education. And so even if you guys, listen, guys, y'all could check me out on my page. I'm Lindsay Smith, the agent. They can get more education there. But I think even if you're not ready to talk to an agent, just listen to people about what it could do for you.
Yep.
So that you can get a little bit of knowledge. I have a book, Creating Wealth Through Life Insurance, right? It simplifies life insurance. I swear to you, if you look at the reviews, people are like, it changed my family's life. Mm-hmm. I literally wrote it where it's almost like a dictionary for you. Mm-hmm. So all the terms that people are confused about, like people are not sure how the beneficiaries work, how the trust is related to the beneficiary. They're not sure about the types of policies, about the riders, about what questions to ask the agent. All of that is in there. It's simple. It's a short book. But the reviews, like people are like, it completely changed my family's life. Like I've had people buy 4 and 5 copies. Like I gave it out to my kids. I gave it out to my aunts, my uncles. Because I also talk about how families need to purchase insurance on the elderly.
Mm.
Like, why would you? Let me just say this.
Let's do it.
You're 27.
Yes, ma'am.
Which means your mom and dad are not that old. Right? Give in your head, you think they're old. But they're not old because they're close to my age.
Okay.
Okay? So if you were to get a large policy on them now,
mm-hmm.
you might sit on it for a couple of years, right? You're hopefully sitting on it for the next 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when they pass away, We all gonna die.
Yes, ma'am.
But when they pass away, by then you might have a family with kids. That money essentially could pay for your kids to go to college, start a business, buy a property. Guess what? Money that you didn't, instead of the 529 plan that you're going to put together for them, you already have tax-free money locked in for them. They straight.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes to the next generation. So you pay for it, but the premium you're paying is essentially for you to lock in for them to be able to have no loans for college, because that is drowning our people.
Yeah.
The college loans is drowning us. And there's so much free money out there now. There's no reason why people have college loans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As much free money it is, if you're just lazy, you don't want to apply for scholarships. But this is going to set your family up from the start not having any debt. Mm. That down payment money for a property, that's what stops a lot of people from getting it.
Yep.
They don't have the down payment. Credit, yes. But down payment, too. So imagine if you didn't have to worry about credit because the money that was left for you bought a house outright. Mm. I mean, what are we not doing? These things have been happening.
Yep.
We're just not doing it. We have to start changing how we think so that we're able to do the things that these other people are doing and setting their families up. Why, when they graduate from high school, they already got a property, they got a car, they got a business, they got this. And we struggling to figure out to work at Chipotle.
Yeah.
It don't make sense.
At all.
It's poor planning. That's all it is. It's just poor planning.
If this was your last podcast that you were ever able to do, what are some closing words that you would leave with the people?
First, I would say, please stop running from insurance. No, but seriously, I would say that education is key. Business, personal education is key. Financial literacy is key. And I think that insurance falls under that. Mm-hmm. Insurance falls under the umbrella of financial literacy. And I think that if we are open, we open our minds to be able to listen to things that we haven't done before.
Yeah.
The things that we don't know we need to know. That is what is going to change our family's lives. Because if we keep doing the things that we've been doing, then we're not going to see any change.
Mm-hmm.
We must do something different if we want to see something different. And so my suggestion to everybody is do something different. Mm-hmm. Do something different than your family was doing so that you can show your kids something different. Make sure that you're going to take it every single day. You should be educating yourself on something. There's podcasts. There's books. You don't even have to read the book. You can listen to the audible now. You could ask AI.
Yep.
I mean, it's so much ways that we could get educated. And so it's no reason why we are not leveling up.
Yeah.
And so that's my suggestion. Constantly educate yourself. Make sure you have a mentor in whatever space that you're trying to learn about, whatever business you're trying to start. Make sure you don't be cheap and be like, oh, I don't want to pay for that mentor. You need a mentor. Get the right mentor, but you need a mentor.
Lindsay, I appreciate you so much. Most definitely. But of course, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each and every single one of you. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to go ahead, hit the like button, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back and rewatch this episode again. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I am Marvin Francois. This is the very lovely Miss Lindsay Smith. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you once again. And God bless. Until next time, family. Peace.